Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Praise the Lord. We'll be with you in a minute. Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries. Please bear with us. We're experiencing technical difficulty.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to the book of Judges, the second chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Judges, the second chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. And if you got to know Joshua, Judges is right after Joshua. Hallelujah. Judges, the second chapter, beginning at verse 16. And the word of God now reads, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they will not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so." You may be seated. I want to talk about the fear, no fear of God. No fear of God. When God laid this on my heart, I don't know about y'all, but as you begin to read the Word of God, it will be a certain scripture or a certain passage that begin to bring illumination, bring light. And God had me in the book of Judges, and he said, no fear of God. To have fear of God, it means to stand in awe of God, to reverence God. It means to know that God is a holy God. To have fear of God is not to be scared of God, but to know that he is holy. So it was saying here in this chapter, it said, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges." So I want to start here to say that in spite of what the people done, he raised up leaders. He raised up judges. That means that he gave them rule over them to govern them. But the problem here is there was no fear of God. See, when there's no fear of God, you do what you choose to do, knowing that you're born again, but you're still doing things that the world does. That means there's no fear of God. There's no honor of God. There's no awe of God. And why is this in the body of Christ? Now, see, I'm talking to the Christian folks. Now, we can expect this from sinners because they're serving Satan. They're serving the god of this world. But when you become born again, there's supposed to be an awe when it comes to God. There's supposed to be a holy reverence when they come to God. Why is that not in the body of Christ? First of all, I'm going to talk about Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord come in the temple and he was high and he was lifted up in Isaiah the 6th chapter, he saw him above everything. So he was in awe of him, and it said his train, his skirt, it filled the temple. So that was the glory of the Lord coming in that temple. And we see that the angels, the cherubims, and all of them, they begin to worship God. They begin to cry out, holy, holy, holy. And as they begin to cry out, holy, it was like the foundations began to shake. And the presence of the Lord was so much in that place that Isaiah recognized that he was unclean. He recognized that he was not worthy to stand before a holy God. And when he recognized that, he accepted him for who he was. And this is what God is saying. There's no fear of God in the people of God. Because when there is fear of God in the people of God, I'm talking about the Christians, I'm talking about the saints, I'm talking about the set apart ones, that means that we wouldn't be doing what we do. We wouldn't be cutting the food. We wouldn't be acting like we act because we're his temple. This is where God abides. This is God's home on the inside of us. Because the day that you were born again, you invited him to come live and abide on the inside of you, meaning that your body is not your own. This is why he said that we have to make our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is our act of worship. So this is what's not happening in the body of Christ. So these people here did not have an awe of God because they kept on doing what they were accustomed to doing. But Isaiah, once he found out he was unclean, that he could not stand before God, he began to say, I'm unclean. I can't stand before this holy God. This is what God wants us to know. We were so unclean. We were like a dirty, filthy rag that we could not even approach God without dying. But because of Jesus and what he done for us, it gave us a right to the Father. The only way you can get to him is through Jesus Christ. And I believe that those in this house that have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior gave you the right to stand before a holy God. So the problem is, God began to tell me, he said, yes, you're born again. Yes, you have accepted him, but you stop right there. Because people are straddling the fence. People are saying, I'm saved, I can miss hell, and I can still do what I'm doing. See, we are abusing the grace of God. See, God's grace is his unearned, unmerited favor that we didn't deserve. And just because he forgave us of past, present, and future sins don't mean that we still do and say what we used to do and say. It does not mean that we act the way that we used to act, because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. That means old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the problem is we don't know God. Because if we know God, I don't want to, some people say, I know God. No, you only know about God. You only know what somebody else told you. I'm talking about having such a relationship with God. When God said no is no, no means no, and there ain't nothing else that we need to say or do. See, that's when you have a holy awe towards God. Because you say, yes, Lord, I'm your servant. What would you have me to do? So these people here did not know God. If you look above in verse 10, this is the answer of why these people had no fear of God. It said, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So they did not know him the way their forefathers knew him. There was another generation that came forth. So by them not knowing him, by not coming acquainted with him, by them not being intimate with him, they began to say that he was God, but they were not serving him like he was their God. They were going after other things. And this is happening right now in the house of God. Everything is allowed in the house of God. Why? Because we don't have no awe of God. We're not recognizing him as a holy God. See, because if I'm a pastor and I'm up over the sheep, See, I have to be the first partaker to have that holy reverence before God. Why? Because if I'm going to be up over the sheep, then I'm going to have to teach the sheep about how holy God is. My lifestyle is going to have to represent who he is and who I am in him, meaning that the way I used to be, I'm not that way no more, meaning that how I used to hang out, I don't hang out that way no more, meaning that if the choir is singing something they don't supposed to sing, I shut it down because I know that he is holy, and he said, because I'm holy, be ye holy. And if I've been with him and I know him, I don't look at man, I look to him. So that's why I know people don't know God, because they're allowing too many things to take place in the house of God and nobody's saying nothing. So how can you know God and you're still doing things outside of God? Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, he said, and this is eternal life, to know God. He said to know him. That means, like I say, in a knowing is to have intimacy with God. You're so intimate with God, no one or nothing can take his place. Now, I want to stop there and ask you, the born-again ones in this room, the ones that said, I do, to him, the ones that invited him to come into your life, I want you to stop for a minute, and we're going to pause, and I want you to think about something. Have you become so intimate with God that you have shut everything and everyone off and not put them before God? See, there's an intimacy that you have with a person, or some people have things. And I'll give you an example in a marriage. See, when you become one, that means that you have come together, just like the Bible says, Adam knew Eve. That means that he knew her. He had intimacy with her, and then they began to have children. They were one. They were married. They were so intimate. So that means that when me and my husband got married, that means we became one. That means that it was nobody before him but God. That means that there's no other man that I should be looking at or lusting over, because he is the man. That means that I shouldn't have to look nowhere else behind closed doors. That means that I have made so much of a connection with my husband. No man turned me on, no kind of way. Why? Because I have become intimate with him. We have such a relationship that no one or nobody should break that because of the intimacy that we have. And that's how it's supposed to be with God. If there's anything or anyone in your life that you're putting before him, you don't know him. You don't know him the way you should know him. You know about him, but when you become to know him, your family don't shut you down. Your family don't turn you away from him. Your husband or wife don't turn you away from him. People on the job don't turn you away from him, because you have become so intimate with him. You know how holy he is that you don't let nothing or no one come between you and God. Now let me ask you again. How well do you know him? See, knowing him means that when my eyes open, I'm saying, thank you. Before my eyes close, thank you. He's the first thing that I think about when I wake up. He's the one I think about throughout the day. I don't let anyone or anybody take his place, because I know what he done for me. See, that's why I know that some people don't know him, because if you knew him, you wouldn't be in the mess you're still in after 20 years. That's just what happened here. They didn't know him. They knew about him. So it said that these people, God took judges, and he put them over them. He raised up those judges, meaning that he chose them. They didn't choose themselves. What's happening in the house of God? We take a vote for folk to put them in position. The louder the crowd, that one got it. The more they blow, just like the wolf, they got it. I'm here to tell you, Satan knew the word, and he knew it well. He just twisted it. But when you know God, you will know who's standing before you. You will know where they've been because it's such a sweet aroma. And when they open their mouth, it's like fire that comes out of their mouth and it devours everything that's going on in the room. It's like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. And the word is so rich that you're saying, Lord, it's me. Whoa, I'm undone. The word's supposed to cut you. It's supposed to be like a two-edged sword. So the Bible says God raised up those judges. That means God chose those judges. He put them in place. So that's leaders. You have to have leaders after God's own heart. You have to have a leader who's been with God, not knowing about God, but been with God. You have to have a leader not with head knowledge, but with heart knowledge. You have to have a leader that spends so much time with God that they know what God wants to do and not them. So God chose these leaders. And the word of God says, and then I want you to know this, Jesus, before he chose the disciples, understand this, a leader got to be raised up. A leader just ain't put in place. A leader has to be raised up by God. Look at the disciples. Jesus chose those disciples. Those disciples were followers of Christ. They were learners of Christ. So when Christ got ready to go be with the Father, when Jesus got ready to be with the Father, then that's when they began to take over from where he left off. Why? They were taught the things of Jesus. And if you read the word of God, the very things that Jesus done, the disciples, the apostles were doing it. Why? Because they were taught of him. They had a relationship with him. They knew him. So he raised up these leaders. Leaders have to be raised up, not put in place because of money. Not put in place because they can quote the word from the front to the back. You don't put a person in place because of how they dress or how they look. You have to raise them up. You have to teach them the things of God. This is why God has the fivefold. And everybody don't walk in the fivefold. God ain't called everybody to the fivefold. People are getting churches everywhere. Everywhere you look, across the block, there's a church. But when you have a relationship with God, you're going to know the right church. You're going to know what's being taught is of him. So it said he raised them up some judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. Spoil mean that they plundered them, they robbed them. So look how God had to put leaders in place to raise them up. He had to put leaders in place to teach them the ways of God. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how old you get. Everybody still needs to be taught. When you think that you cannot be teachable, then you cannot be put in any position. When you ever think that you know more than who God put in place, then you should not be put in position. I don't care how much education that you have. I don't care how many college degrees that you have. I don't care how well you can speak. If you do not know God and have a relationship with God, those degrees is not going to get you anywhere. The Bible says that Peter and them were unlearned men. So they knew that they had to be with Jesus because they knew they were unlearned. So they knew that they had a relationship with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus did not go outside of his Father because he had a relationship with his Father. He didn't let nobody change his mind. I don't care who it was. He went by what the word said. So when he raised them up, those judges, and it says, and yet they will not hearken unto their judges. Wait a minute now. If God raised up the judges, gave them the leaders that he wanted them to have, tell me? Why wouldn't they want to hearken unto them? Because they thought they knew everything. They thought that they didn't need a leader to lead them. They thought that they were okay. So they rejected the judges. What's happening in the house of God? People are rejecting leaders. They're rejecting the pastors. They're going out talking about their leaders, thinking that this should be done and that should be done. How you know what should be done and you ain't even in the Word the way you need to be in the Word? And God is not even illuminating the Word to you because you are so corrupt in your heart. But yet you want to tell somebody else how to do something, and your life ain't adding up to what the Word of God says. Your neighbor say, go run and tell that. This is what it said. They were not hearken unto the leaders, unto the judges. But they went a whoring. That's what the Bible says. A whoring after other gods. Meaning that God was not good enough. This is what's happening in the house of God. We figure, God can't help me with this. God can't do this. So I'm just going to go a-whoring after something or someone that can. So they rejected the leaders. If they rejected the leaders, they rejected God because God put the leaders in place for them. So if you reject me and go out whoring after another God, that means you ain't accepting the God that's in me, and that means that you ain't accepting God. You think you can go somewhere else and get it done better. This is what was happening. They went after other gods because they felt like the God that they had wasn't good enough. I'll give you an example. This is the problem. Our trust. Supposed to be in God, not in man. Man will fail you. I want y'all to understand this. You put no trust in man. You put trust in the God that's in man, not in man. Man is not your God. I am not your God. I'm just a servant that God used to bring forth his word, his truth. I'm not God. So when you look up to man as God, and when man fail you, you realize they ain't God, but it's too late. Because you rejected him for man or for an idol. See, these people went after other gods. These were idols. And some of us have idols in our life. It could be our husband. It could be our wife. Oh, man, when it comes to relationships, and the only thing you hear people talk about is their mate. When do they become God? Well, my husband said, you know, my husband said, my husband bought me this, and my husband bought me that, and my husband done this for me, and my husband done that for me. I got news for you. That don't mean your husband love you. Because nobody can love you like God. And if that husband or that wife don't have a relationship with God and don't know God, them gifts is meaningless. That just means that that husband thinks that that's what real love is to give you something. So when that man or woman can't give it to you no more, you saying you don't love me because you built love on things. Love is not based on things. You're supposed to love when the things ain't there. When your husband can't give you a car. When your husband can't give you perfume, when your husband can't give you the pocketbook or the shoes, you're supposed to love him unconditionally because you love God. See, we got the wrong perception about things. Well, you didn't send me no flowers. Everybody else got flowers. Who are you, God? You already knew what was in your bank account because you spent it. How are you supposed to get you flowers and you spent the money? Now you want some flowers. And you spent all the money, so now you're telling him you don't love me. And you're born again. And you're supposed to have, by the way, and behind the pulpit, teaching other folk and then go home and live another life. How can you say you know him and have a relationship with him when your home don't line up with him? God is not going to put me or nobody else behind the pulpit whose house is out of order. If I can't get along with my husband, surely I ain't going to be getting along with you. If I don't know how to handle about the ones, the sinners. I'm talking about the saved folks who's always hollering hallelujah and amen. No, it ain't so. Because if your home ain't lining up, then you ain't going to be able to line up in the house of God. God is not going to call you to that. That's why he had to raise up judges. God had to know where their heart was for his people. God looks at the heart. He don't look at you because you drive nice cars, because you in a big house. He don't look at you because of how you dress. God's going through all that mess, and he's looking at your heart. He knows the heart of man. And he's the only one that can change the heart. I can't change your heart. But if you allow God to do it, he can. So they went out after other gods because they would not listen to their leaders. They thought that they knew everything. They didn't need no help. See, this is what God told them. If you would go back and read when God brought them out of Egypt, he said, don't entangle yourself with other gods. Don't live as they live, because there will be thorns in your side. Now, remember, he told them, I want you to tell this, all of this that I told you, I want you to tell it to your children. I want them to be able to hear it during the day. I want them to be able to hear it when they lay down and when they wake up. Why? Because they're going to know the difference. They're going to know what's right. They're going to know what's wrong. So I want you to raise your children up in the way then I'm giving it unto you. So we see that this generation that came up after the forefathers died, the ones that said, I'm going to obey all your commands, that they didn't do it. Now, we can't look at them in a bad way, because I'm going to tell you something. These very same people, the Bible say, nevertheless, that means something had to happen before then for the Bible to say, nevertheless, he raised up judges. This is where I'm going. No matter what those people did, I want you to understand this. When you were born again and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, when we mess up, God is a just God. He's a merciful God. But don't think you ain't going to go through. God's going to be there and you're going through. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to go through. So these people were going through. They cried out to God, and God raised up judges for these people. But yet, there was still no fear of God. Where am I going? Whatever happened in our lives, whether it's tragedy, whether it's death, whatever it may be, or we may got a bad report with the doctor. I'm talking about born-again people. I'm talking to the born-again people. You got a bad report with the doctor. Before, you weren't serving God like you're supposed to be with God. You were out whoring. Yeah. You were into other things, but you wasn't into God. You were doing other things. You wasn't into God. You weren't worshiping God the way you need to worship God with your whole heart. You were not sincere before God. You may gave him a little bit of time, but you didn't give him enough time. You just pushed him off to the side. But when you got your report, you begin to cry out to God. Woe is me, God. God, I need you. See, you need God now, but you had him all alone. God never left you. You left God. Because he said, I'll never leave you, nor shall I forsake you. God said, I'm going to be with you even unto the end. But we never had an of God. We never looked at him as being a holy God. We never turned away from stuff that we should have turned away from. We thought we could still party. We can still fornicate. We can still commit adultery. We can still do these things, and God will still love us. You're right. But when you know what he's done, you wouldn't want to do what you're doing. When you know how holy he is, you would turn away from all of these things, and you would bow down before him.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgal, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org. Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Luke 18, chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed, thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. I want to talk about trusting in themselves. Trusting in themselves. Last week we were talking about how the enemy brings oppression and how he oppresses us. That means he harasses us and he controls us. But we know that the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power to heal all those that are oppressed of the devil. So we know that the enemy can oppress you in a certain area of your life where he can hold you in bondage, meaning that he harassed you so much in that area that some of us think this is the way that it should be. We talked about how you have to close doors to the enemy, because the Bible said that we don't neither give place to the enemy. We don't give him a foothold, meaning that we don't let the sun go down on our wrath. The Bible tells us we can be angry but sin not. God knows in different situations that we do get angry, but through getting angry, we don't begin to sin. So God is bringing into this house spiritual warfare the more. Why? Because we are in a spiritual battle, and we have to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, a stronghold is an area in your life that you held in bondage due to the way you think. And the enemy knows that if he can get you to think upon a certain thing, that he can hold you in bondage in that area, meaning that there's a fortress in your mind. And seem like when you try to come out of that area, seem like you can't come out of that area because there's a fortress all the way around you. And the only way that you can come out of that area is through the Word of God. And this is why God said he called me to root up and tear down the strongholds off of his people. And that's why when Jesus was saying, when Paul was saying that he came to heal those that were oppressed, sometimes it's just oppression in our lives that make us sick. And if we don't know the area that the enemy is oppressing us in, we try to go in and try things ourselves. So today what the Lord is bringing in the house is trusting in yourself. It's a lot of us in this room that's trusting in ourselves more than we're trusting in God. We think that we can do it better than God. And the enemy knows that if he can get you to trust in yourself, that means that you're not humbling yourself before God. That means that you're walking in pride. And the enemy knows that when you walk in pride, there shall be a fall. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. That means that my confidence, my reliance, my faith is in God and not in me. And this should have taken place when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. See, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we say, God, it's not about me. This is why the Word of God says that if you want to be his disciple, a learner of Christ, a follower of Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself. That means I got to lose interest in myself. I got to lose myself to the point of I don't see me no more. I see Jesus. We have a problem in the house of God. People want to be seen, they want to be heard, and they want to be attached to. And even under pride, there is rejection, because a person that want to be seen and heard and attached to is operating in pride. Because rejection is under pride, meaning that you're going to see me, you're going to hear me, you're going to be attached to me, so you're going to try to exalt yourself, you're going to try to put yourself in a place to be seen, heard, and be attached to. God say, in the body of Christ, pride has gotten so prevalent, and I'm going to tell you what pride does. First of all, there's a spirit called Leviathan. In the Bible, Job talk about this spirit of Leviathan in Job 41. This is when God was talking to Job. Job had a spirit of Leviathan. Job was had pride, and the king of Leviathan is pride. The king over Leviathan is pride. So as God began to talk to Job, so we got to understand, yes, we are born again. Yes, we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That was the first step. But the thing is, if we're not denying ourselves and crucifying this flesh on a daily basis, we're going to rise up in a position that Satan wants us to rise up in. And I'm telling you right now, this house is full of pride. And some people don't even recognize that they are in pride, but today you're going to be exposed. That enemy of pride is going to be exposed, and we got to do away with pride according to the word of God, because the enemy knows if I can keep you in pride, you won't be delivered. If I can keep you in a way of saying, I know how to do this, this is the way that it should be done, you can't tell me, you're walking in pride. See, Job was a righteous man. He was blameless before God. It looked like Job had everything going on, because we know that Job, he was making sure that his children did not sin against God, so he was making sacrifices for his children. And as he was doing this, we know he opened a door to fear. Not only was fear there, but pride was there as well. And sometimes we think that we're so super saved that we can do it better than anybody else. See, I believe that Job thought, you know what, I'm going to take care of this for my children because I can do it better. See, some of us think we can teach better. We think we can preach better. We think we can sing better. But you got to understand, it ain't God getting the glory. It's you bringing glory to yourself. And that's why the spirit of the living God cannot come into place and do what he need to do, because you're still in the way. Until you deny yourself and give up yourself, God cannot move the way he needs to move. And the enemy knows, I can't be put to flight because I'm keeping you in the way, so the power of God can't come in on the scene. See, the enemy wants you in this state of mind, in this frame of mind, to keep you from moving the way God wants you to move. So we got to understand, first of all, when this said that certain were trusting in themselves, that means that they had so much confidence in what they were doing that they said, I can be righteous because of me, because of what I do. And that's the wrong attitude. Go with me to Titus 3:5. In Titus 3:5, the word of God is telling us, and we want to make sure that we're opening our hearts today to hear the word, because as you hear this word, you can be delivered through it. In Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. See, I want to stop right there, because some of us think that it's because we come to church. It's because that we come to church on time. It's because that we have a position in church and we're feeding the pastor and we're cleaning the church or we're visiting the nursing homes, we're visiting the hospitals, we're visiting the prisons that makes us righteous. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says it's not according to your works that you're righteous. See, a prideful person will stand destruction. It was him that freed us from sin, not us. So if you're looking to you to get over something, you in pride. If you're still trying to fix something, you in pride. Because you ain't humbled yourself enough to know it's already done through him and not you. See, some of us saved folks is still trying to do things to get healed, to get delivered, to get set free. That means that you're depending upon yourself to get what God has already done. See, I was one of those. I was one of those that said, well, God, I'm speaking your word. God, I'm speaking in tongues. God, I'm serving you. And I don't understand, God, why things are not manifesting in my life. But the closer I got to him, the farther I got away from me. Y'all don't hear me. The closer I got to him, the farther away I got from me. I began to deny myself to the point of to say, God, there is no other God but you. That means that, God, I can't handle this. I don't have no way of fixing this within myself. God, I can't even heal myself. I don't care how many BCs, how many aspirins I take. I don't care if I take them round the clock. God is still there because I'm trying to do it instead of humbling myself and saying, God, here I am. Oh, help me. See, the problem is we say by his stripes we were healed. Do you understand what that's saying? We're healed. That means it was a done deal. That means I don't have to put me in the equation or nobody else in the equation because it was already done. Only thing I do is step out the way and command what was already done and receive it. Why? Because I believe it. But when I stay in the way trying to do something that somebody else is telling me to do, I'm making them a god. Trusting in themselves. See, some of you are trusting in yourself, still trying to pay your bills. See, what you got to understand is self is still in there. Why? Because the Bible tells me, if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, meaning his way of doing things, all of these things, meaning everything that's necessary for me to live in this life, will be, shall be given unto me. Why? Because I'm seeking him above me.